Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, this is the Burke Allen Show on WAMS with Billboard Magazine award-winning broadcaster Burke Allen. Interesting guests, intriguing topics, and your phone calls at 718-506-1944. The Burke Allen Show is a presentation of Allen Media Strategies, online at allenmediastrategies.com. Now, celebrating his third decade behind the mic, here's Burke Allen.
If you listen to the program a lot, you know that we're big music fans here, and today we're going to talk with artist Grace Griffith. She's one of the best unknown singers in America, multi-award-winning vocalist who discovered and inspired Eva Cassidy. Is on the brink of a breakthrough, especially in England. My Life is the debut single from Grace Griffith's seminal album, Sailing, and it has become a huge hit across the pond in England, despite Grace's living with Parkinson's disease for over 15 years now. After her music was first championed by folks including folk guru Mike Harding, Grace's stirring My Life track was noticed and broadcast by DJs in England, and they said it was absolutely stunning. They got a huge audience response there in England. The track went on to be playlisted across the entire Radio 2J station. Grace spends her time here in the United States in the Washington, D.C. area as a trained physical therapist, and she spent her early adult days healing with her hands, in her evenings pursuing a passion for music with a healing voice. And as her musical reputation here in the Washington, D.C. area grew quickly, her audience did, and one of the folks in that audience was an unknown singer named Eva Cassidy. Eva became a big fan, and the women became friends, and Eva at the time was very ill, and the ladies became friends, and after learning of Eva's illness, Grace called her record label Blix Street Records on Eva's behalf and said, "Look, we've got this wonderful singer. We're afraid we're going to lose her. Can I send you a tape?" And although Eva's life indeed was tragically cut short back in 1996, her album went on to touch millions of listeners, and the Songbird album from Eva Cassidy received global recognition. And it was all thanks to Grace Griffith. Now, back in 1998, Grace's own life became more complicated after the onset of Parkinson's disease. And she's won several Washington Area Music Awards, including Artist of the Year in 2000. We're going to talk with Grace Griffith in just a moment on the Burke Allen Show. Hang on.
You're listening to the radio right now. That means you're a radio fan. Did you ever think, I could do that? I could be on the radio? Well, now you can. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com now and sign up for a free online course to help you get your own radio show. Talk shows, music shows, and more. It's fun, easy, and best of all, you can learn in your own home. Find out how. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com today. That's GetYourOwnRadioShow.com. GetYourOwnRadioShow.com.
This just in. Now you can speak your email instead of typing it. It's the revolutionary new online breakthrough that's being called the next big thing on the internet. Video email. It's easy to use, saves time, and you'll be the first to have it. But wait, there's more. You could also broadcast your own live TV show online. Use it for family, friends, or business presentations. Video email and online TV broadcast? How much would that cost? Hundreds? Thousands? How about less than $4 a day? Find out more. Visit GreatVideoTool.com today. That's GreatVideoTool.com. Do it now. GreatVideoTool.com.
Are you afraid of things that go bump in the night? Dark Force, the true and terrifying story of Bill Bean, has been featured on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, Coast to Coast AM, and more. Now, Bill Bean shares his amazing story of horror and redemption in his own words. You can own a personally autographed copy of Dark Force by Bill Bean at a special low price for radio listeners. Visit BillBeanBook.com today. That's BillBeanBook.com, and experience Dark Force.
You're listening to the radio right now. That means you're a radio fan. Did you ever think, I could do that? I could be on the radio? Well, now you can. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com now and sign up for a free online course to help you get your own radio show. Talk shows, music shows, and more. It's fun, easy, and best of all, you can learn in your own home. Find out how. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com today. That's GetYourOwnRadioShow.com. GetYourOwnRadioShow.com.
This just in. Now you can speak your email instead of typing it. It's the revolutionary new online breakthrough that's being called the next big thing on the internet, video email. It's easy to use, saves time, and you'll be the first to have it. But wait, there's more. You could also broadcast your own live TV show online. Use it for family, friends, or business presentations. Video email and online TV broadcast? How much would that cost? Hundreds? Thousands? How about less than $4 a day? Find out more. Visit greatvideotool.com today. That's greatvideotool.com. Do it now. Greatvideotool.com.
Are you afraid of things that go bump in the night? Dark Force, the true and terrifying story of Bill Bean, has been featured on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, Coast to Coast AM, and more. Now, Bill Bean shares his amazing story of horror and redemption in his own words. You can own a personally autographed copy of Dark Force by Bill Bean at a special low price for radio listeners. Visit BillBeanBook.com today. That's BillBeanBook.com, and experience Dark Force.
It's the Burke Allen Show, number 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. She is a Whammy Award-winning artist. That's the Washington Area Music Association Awards, including Artist of the Year in the year 2000. The album is Sailing, and Grace Griffith joins us on the program. Hey, Grace.
Hi, Burke.
Congratulations on your success. Did it ever feel to you like, wow, I've been at this a long time, it's never going to happen for me?
Well, I certainly have feelings like I've been at this a long time. It's never going to happen with me, but they've always passed, and I've really felt lucky for the opportunities I'm having now to like mentor younger singers and stuff like that. And I sort of feel like at this point in my career, I can do what I want to do. And Look Street, my label, is very supportive, and so it's very fulfilling.
What does it feel like, Grace, to be well-known certainly locally in the Washington, Virginia, and Maryland area, not so much nationally in the U.S., but to really be taking off, you know, thousands of miles away from home and be something of a phenomenon in England? So you're very somewhat anonymous here, but over there, not so much. Is that an odd feeling?
It's a great feeling. I love it. I won't lie to you. I just love it. My whole thing is connecting with people and comforting them or making them feel happy through music, and the more I can reach out to, the better.
What advice would you give? You talked about your time that you spend with younger artists to a young person who's just starting out, and you know they think this is the life for me. What would you tell them first and foremost?
Well, I would tell them to keep monitoring their priorities, because it's very easy to get caught up in the glamour and the ego, and that stuff isn't going to last you through the long run. So I advise them to do things for fun and beauty and try to not lose sight of that focus.
Singer-songwriter Grace Griffith is our guest today on the Burke Allen Show. The album is Sailing. It's available at Blix Street Records, and that's B-L-I-X Street. And you can visit them online at blickstreet.com. Grace, let's talk a little bit about your connection with Eva Cassidy. And for folks that remember the, sort of the phenomenon of Eva Cassidy 10 years ago now, how did that involvement for you begin? How did you meet Eva? And sort of take me through that whole thing.
Well, the first thing was I heard my friends who were into rock just raving about her voice. Then I saw her on a couple of occasions, but there was one particular night when I took myself out to hear her, and she just blew me away. I had never really, you know, gone to just a solo Eva show and not had anything else happening to distract us. But she had apparently been quite a fan of mine for quite a while, which really surprised me, because that night her bandmate, Chris Biondo, he's also been her producer, told me that she was afraid to talk to me because she was starstruck and head and shy, and I just thought that was so funny. So I went and told her, you know, that she was the best singer I've ever heard, and that's true. But unfortunately, that was in July, and it was just a few weeks later that her mother, who I had not met at that point, called and said, you know, wouldn't I please come visit Eva, because she loved my music and she was dying. And it was just so sudden, but I went out there to visit her at her house, her folks' house where she was living. And we got to sing together. I mean, she had been studying the songs that I do and stuff. And it was just such a special connection. We had so much in common. I had, after that, sometimes I felt a little, really sorry that we didn't have more time to develop a friendship and get to know each other. But I have made friends of her parents, and of course her music is there. And, you know, I just sent her stuff to Blick Street because, if, to my mind, a person with that great talent, that magnitude of a gift, needs to be heard. So I sent to Blick Street a CD of her my favorite cuts of hers, and they were immediately taken, and that's, the story goes on from there. You know, she was a big sensation in the UK and all over the world. I think she's a quintuple platinum artist plus or something.
Amazing.
Yes, it really is.
And you can say, I knew her when.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
The artist Grace Griffith is our guest today, and the album is Sailing, and I believe this is the seventh album from Grace, who's a very prolific singer-songwriter here in the States, and now is becoming a real phenomenon in England. You can pick up Sailing online at music stores everywhere, the ones that are left out there. I'm dating myself when I talk about music stores. Grace, as I listen to the music, and you know, I'm really touched by the lyrical content, and as someone who's a music fan, I always wonder when I talk to singer-songwriters like yourself, what comes first? Is it the lyric that comes first for you, or is it the riff, the melody?
Well, actually, to be honest, I'm not really, I don't think of myself much of a songwriter. I've written lyrics in my time, but not too many. I'm mainly just a singer or an interpreter. And what strikes me about songs, I mean, they have to be fun to sing. They have to be about a topic that interests me or inspires me or draws me out. And I'm most go for the lyrics, actually. Usually it's the lyrics, yeah.
How tough is it for you to find songs to put on your albums when you're picking songs that haven't already been done and done really well by somebody else, you know, something that you can put your own stamp on?
Well, that's a fun process, that discovery. Occasionally people send me songs. Sometimes I have quite a number of friends in the music business in D.C. area, and the current project, the one that is going to follow, Sailing, is one where I just kind of put out a message to a lot of friends, can you recommend any songs? And I got some really nice responses, including one song that was composed for the project. And so it's a fun process to me. I've always... You know, it took me a long time to figure out, was it okay to sing other people's songs exclusively, or songs that were handed down from the ages? And I really feel that, in a way, that gives me greater empathy, because if I write my own song, I'm writing about my experience, and only from my experience. If I sing an ancient song or a song that somebody else wrote, it's kind of like, in order to interpret that song's emotions, I need to kind of step into their skin. Be sensitive to what they face, what their challenges and aspirations are, and so it's in a way more of a Pacific, oceanic, I don't know the word, where you blend, yeah, kind of like that. How's that?
I like it. Grace Griffith is our guest today on the Burke Allen Show. You can pick up the album Sailing online now, and it's available at blixstreet.com, blixstreet.com, amazon.com as well. Can we talk a little bit about Parkinson's? Is that okay?
Sure.
Grace deals with, and it was very interesting, I thought, as I learned more about you, after Eva Cassidy's untimely passing, you, shortly thereafter, found out that you have a health challenge of your own. You have the onset of Parkinson's disease. Can you remember the first signs of that and what your memories are of that?
Well, actually, I can remember really far back, before it was identified, and that included, like, I began shuffling, my feet seemed heavy, and my balance was up. When I would stand up on my toes, I would lose my balance. I had a twitch in one finger, and began having trouble writing, and just a whole series of odd things. But I got hooked up with a really good team up at the University of Maryland, they've been with me all these years. I was diagnosed in 1998. And it was, one of the things that struck me about it was, I had thought really long and hard about sending Eva's stuff to Blick Street because, you know, I just thought she was the cat's meow, the bee's knees, whatever. And I was sure that they would want to pick her up, and I feared perhaps I would be it would be to the detriment of my own career. But
right.
It didn't turn out that way at all because it was shortly after that, as you say, that I did find out about the Parkinson's, and I knew that that would, over the course of the years, it would certainly curtail my ability to perform and get to performances and things. So it hasn't, I mean, I wouldn't have chosen it, and there are times when it's a real struggle, but still, after all these years, I'm able to have fun and take in the beauty of the world around me and sing. And in fact, I'm going to start working on a new recording project soon, as I mentioned.
Now, you underwent some pretty experimental surgery back in 2006, a brain stimulation surgery, deep brain stimulation at Johns Hopkins, and that must have just scared the crap out of you.
Well, it sure did. You know, I had to really psych myself up beforehand. 2 years before that surgery, I still really could not handle looking at pictures of the apparatus that they put inside and stuff. But I did get myself psyched up. I got through the thing, which is no small affair because you're lying there awake through the whole procedure.
Good Lord.
Well, see, you need to interact with them so they can see if they push that button, which part of your body twitches or moves or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it was really a challenge, but it was so helpful to me because I had reached the point where every 2.5 hours, I became really just slow and still. Really, my hands wouldn't do anything. And that's really given me the ability, although I still do have to take some medicine, it's given me the ability to continue moving throughout the day. And I found that I can even sing if I adjust my medicines a certain way beforehand. But there's a lot of frustrations about it. I know out in your audience, I think more than 1 in 100 people at this point are thought to have Parkinson's at some point. Well, once you get it, of course, you have it for good.
Sure.
I'm sure they can sympathize with these things. For example, one of the frustrating things to me is that when my symptoms are evident and not well controlled by the medicine and the stimulator, then I can't smile. So I walk, you know, you tend to walk around with this angry face, this sort of, and you're not aware of it, and people respond to it unconsciously. So that's one of my frustrations, and I could give you 2,000 more, but we wouldn't have a very nice conversation.
So if I run into you in a Target and you have a grumpy face, it's not necessarily me. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly it, and thank you for saying that, Bert, because that's, you know, I'm really committed to trying to help people who are dealing with these things. I was a physical therapist for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
And I always thought that that's what I wanted to help people learn was how to reach into the eyes of that person or how to see them when they're stuck in this mode of looking a little bit, I won't say zombie-like, it's too close to Halloween, but, you know, not as charming and welcoming as I'd like to be.
One more question about the Parkinson's. As I read about this, there was a reference in the materials that you have batteries somehow implanted and that you can change and upgrade your batteries and it actually gives you more energy and more voice. How does that work?
Well, it's interesting. I am the bionic woman, aren't I?
Pretty much. Jamie Summers, look out.
Yeah. The battery is a small thing about the size of a small pack of cigarettes, for lack of another thing coming to my mind.
Okay.
And it's sewn in under your skin. Usually they put it up in the pectoral area of your chest, just like a regular heart pacemaker.
Right.
Very much like the pacemaker. But so I go in, and I don't do a lot of monkeying with it myself. When I was in physical therapy, we used similar things, TENS units. And so I understand it well. I just as soon let my neurologist monitor the settings and adjust them. But the new battery that I got, see, my first battery lasted about 3 years, and then I needed to have it replaced. So that's one thing they monitor, is how often you need your batteries replaced. And that's going to depend on how much you use it and what the current settings are and so forth. And when this gets too technical, just give me the big T, okay?
I'll give you the yank. But it's just, it's fascinating because it sounds almost like when you charge up that battery, you're able really to function much more in the way that you remember.
Right. And it is so fast. It is fascinating. I could really talk about it all day, and sometimes I do get flown around to do just that. And I love educating people about it because I feel that the more people understand these things, you know, illnesses and things we do to manage with the illnesses, the less isolating it'll be for anyone who has to deal with such a thing, either in themselves or their family member.
When you see someone like Michael J. Fox, who's very much upfront with this disease, is that a help or a hindrance, do you think?
Well, to me, it's a help. It's a help because he has managed to maintain some optimism. And that's a model for a lot of people to pursue. Because this is the kind of illness, knowing that it's progressive, you could just really, you know, curl up in a ball and hide. But that's not, you know, that's going to leave you really feeling alone and not availing yourself of the inspiration that other people can give. And so it's real helpful to me when I go to a meeting and I can, you know, connect with folks that are dealing with similar things. And let me see. I'm blanking. I'm having a little bit of a senior moment here.
That's all right. Grace Griffith is our guest today. The album is called Sailing, and it's a huge hit in England. You can pick it up online at Amazon.com or at Grace's label, BlixStreet.com, and that is spelled B-L-I-X, BlixStreet.com. And Bill Straw, the founder of the label, just says that it is absolutely a phenomenal piece of work, and he says that you are one of the world's great unsung singers. Now, when you hear that kind of praise, how do you get your head through the room? You know, do you have to turn sideways? That must make you feel pretty good.
I mean, I was pleased to see him saying that. I certainly appreciate Bill's opinion. He knows the business, and he's got an ear for songs. And he's a master at putting out together albums, you know, putting them in the right order and things like that. I love to sing. It's very hard for me currently because sometimes when I try to sing, it doesn't come out as well as I would wish. But I do it anyway. Me and Linda Thompson, I guess, we have to keep singing. In fact, there's a song. Well, ask me a question again, Burke.
Well, I have one more question. Is there a favorite song on the album, Sailing, that if folks pick it up, they should cue immediately to that one and know that that is your favorite song?
Well, gee, let's see. That's a hard choice. I know I like the title cut a lot. Oh, My Life. That would have to be it. It's a hard choice, but it's number 3 on this album, written by Iris Dement. And it's just about how important it is for, you know, simple things like family, love, how important that is in our priorities to connect with people that we meet and we love in this world, because we are the ones who can comfort and inspire one another the best. Just simple everyday folks.
Our guest has been Grace Griffith. The new album is called Sailing, and currently she's working on her autobiography about life with music and with Parkinson's disease. And Grace, I thank you so much for spending some time to talk with us today. Best of luck with the album.
Thank you, Burke. Really, I appreciated being here today.
It's our pleasure. Grace Griffith's album, Sailing, is available now online at Amazon.com and at BlixStreet.com. In Washington, D.C., I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening. Now go out and make it a great day.